And I think it's appropriate that we just start out with prayer and invite him in this place, that we prepare our hearts. He's here. We just need to prepare our hearts for what he has in store for us. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful, Lord, to be able to come into your house. Oh, God, that we as your children have the privilege and the freedom, God, to worship you. I pray, God, that we will just take advantage of that this morning, God, and lift our hands to you, our voices to you, God. Prepare our hearts for what you have this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this day. We will rejoice because you have made it. We will be glad in it. We have come into your courts, God, into your presence with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Thank you for waking us up and giving us another day. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Have your hand upon each and every person here. You are a good God. We are grateful to know you. Thankful, Lord, to be a servant in your kingdom. You are a good God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you sing with us this morning? I think we're all maybe a little bit under the weather, and we could certainly use your help this morning.
Yeah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you come to give him the highest praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. While you remain standing before we allow you to be seated, I want us to take a special need before the Lord in prayer. Brother Span came to me right before service, and Sister Span has fallen and hurt her back, and so she's not able to be here this morning, not able to move around very much. So before we do anything else, let's call out Sister Span before the Lord, shall we? Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you that we can come to you in time of need. Lord, our dear faithful sister, God, who we love and adore, God, I pray, God, that you would minister to her right now, God. Send ministering angel, God, to lift her up, to strengthen her, God, to raise her up. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, God. You're a help and a strength, one we can depend upon, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God, for your goodness. God, we praise you and worship you in the reality of your healing touch. God, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Welcome to All Nations Sunday. You'll notice the car is a little bit different up here front. Also, there is stuff being set up downstairs. And at the conclusion of service, the second session, we're going to have a good time of fellowship downstairs. We invite you to come down. But before we do so, we're going to spend time feasting on the Word up here. All right? And if you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, why don't you stand and turn in them with me to Matthew chapter number 24. We are continuing in our study, heroes, in whom we can believe. Heroes in whom we can believe. This morning we are going to talk about one of the disciples by the name of Matthew, also termed Levi in Scripture, but we know him as Matthew, the author of the first book of the New Testament. And we're going to look at our key verse. It's found in Matthew chapter number 24. Read 11 through 13. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Talking about Matthew and looking at his character according to the Word of God, we're going to be discussing the subject of loyalty to the kingdom of God. How Matthew's example of his loyalty and really how his loyalties must have shifted in light of his occupation prior to following the call of God on his life, being asked to join in ministry with Jesus. And so I want to look at Matthew chapter number 9. Look at where Jesus calls Matthew. It begins in verse number 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Focus thought for this morning in our lesson is, loyalty is a character trait of great strength. When attached to the right cause, in this case, the kingdom of God, it is the greatest gift to success and continuance of that cause and its leadership. In other words, the greatest thing that I can do to the kingdom of God is to be loyal to it. Amen? Despite difficulties, despite setbacks, despite other things which may try to get me to align my allegiance, the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that I can do in my service for the kingdom of God is to remain loyal. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a situation that I can look back over my life and say, not that I never fell, it's not that I never made a mistake, but I got up and I continued pressing on. I continued in my loyalty to the things of God and the kingdom of God. We talk about it in light of our culture, specifically talking about loyalty in the church. And we might understand this, that developing loyalty in the North American culture today can be challenging. Loyalty requires a foundation. It requires for us to have a relationship. It requires for us to communicate. It requires for us to have fellowship. It requires for us to spend time building networks and building blocks of friendships to make connections. And we do make connections nowadays, but a lot of the connections that we made are superficial at best. Now, I'm not here demonizing social media. I'm only saying that because of our culture today, because of the fact that we are, many of us, involved in social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these other pseudo-connections that we have with other people, it's our loyalty, if we're not careful, becomes fickle. It becomes based upon quasi-connections that we have with individuals. And if we're not careful, that seeps into our personal life. It seeps in the connections that we make with people that are close to us. You know, it becomes easy, if you will, when somebody disagrees with you or when somebody posts something that is contrary to your opinion. It's easy for us to unfollow or, you know, no longer friend them or ignore them. And you might need to do that with some people. I'm not preaching against that. But what I'm saying is that because we can so casually, if you will, cut or sever those ties and those connections, loyalty becomes suspect sometimes. Our being willing to hammer it out, if you will, our being willing to stay the course in the midst of maybe controversy is somewhat because of our exposure in social media. If we're not careful, that can come over into our personal life. And it can have a negative effect upon our loyalties to those people we should remain loyal to. Those individuals that even though we may have a disagreement with, or we may not see eye to eye, we would be doing ourselves a disservice not to remain loyal in our friendship to that individual. Just because someone challenges me, or just because someone doesn't agree with my opinion, or just because me and another individual do not see eye to eye, doesn't mean that that individual doesn't bring something to the table that I should consider. Doesn't mean that that individual, maybe their opinion or maybe their view, maybe I don't understand it right off the bat, but maybe they do bring something that I need into my life. And I should be careful not to sever or break those connections and those ties. I should remain loyal because there's something in that. Recent study, 25% of Americans report having no close friends in whom they can confide things that were important to them. The average total number of confidants per person, according to this study, is two. Two. Two people that they can actually confide in. And I'm not saying that you have, you know, 30, 40 people that are extremely close to you that confide everything about you. You should have a handful of close friends, people that you are loyal to and they to you. But it seems to me that because of all these other connections we have in life, to have true connection and to have true loyalty in our relationships, if we're not careful, that becomes suspect. We should understand that according to these truths, if you will, according to these things that are represented in these statistics, the depressing truth is that estimated 10 to 15% of the U.S. population are chronically lonely. Well, that's 10, 15%. Well, you got to think about it in this light. That's somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 45 million people. Million. Who would identify themselves as lonely. Not having close friends and confidants and people that they can confide in and loyalty and trust and all those things that help them self-define, if you will, to help them have some validation in their life. And so they wrestle with depression and anxiety and they medicate and they do all these other things trying to find that connection that should be there in our loyalty to people who should be our close friends. Development of our loyal relationships within the church is essential for us in order to see the kind of revival and progress that God intends for His people today. We need each other in the church. We need close friends and confidants. we need. The Bible says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's not just talking about church. I believe in church. I believe in having church. I believe in coming together and having service. But I also believe in All Nations Sunday. I also believe in understanding the end times. I also believe in us getting together for fellowship and time together. Why? Because it establishes connections and it causes us to increase in our love one for another. It gives opportunity for us to strengthen the loyalty one to another, to help us when times are tough. And if the church is going to expand, if it's going to grow, then we are going to have to expend more effort in these days, because of what these days have, because of the society in which we live, we're going to have to work harder to make and establish and keep and continue and strengthen those connections. I need to be face to face with my brothers and my sisters. I need to link arm in arm. I know it's all good. We can connect at different times. And I love social media in the sense of I'm able to share things with my mom and dad that they don't get to see on a daily basis because we're 1,200 miles away. But I also understand that those things will never take place of actually being in their presence. Never take place of actually spending time and getting to establish more of a connection and getting, yes, they'll be able to see their grandkids and they'll be able to see development. My mom tells me all the time, I so wish you would share more. I so wish you would put more and more on there. And I try. But what I'm understanding is that it's a way for her to connect. And while she loves that and appreciate it, I know she would much rather have them at arm's length. I know she would much rather have them where she could hold them and spend time with them. It's those types of connections that I'm talking about. And it's those type of connections that we should endeavor to establish within the congregation. Loyalty one to another. We should do good unto those, especially of the household of faith. Reaching for one another, helping one another. Well, let's look at Matthew. Let's contemplate the topic of Matthew being loyal to the kingdom, because first we understand as a tax collector, he probably had to set aside his commitment to the law of Moses. Think about this. At the beginning of Matthew's life, if you will, or where we're first introduced to him, he is a publican, he is a tax collector. In order for him to take upon this role, in order for him to become or have this occupation, it required of him to do some things that according to the law of Moses were not permissible for him to do. So he, in a sense, was willing to alienate himself from his brethren. He was willing, if you understand what surrounds his occupation as a tax collector and as a publican, he was willing to say, I'm more loyal to the Roman government. I'm more loyal to my own interest and my own way in life than I am to my own brethren. That I am willing. Now, think about this. In the eyes of his brethren, this is some of the worst. The fact that you would be willing to take your loyalty to the law of Moses and that you would be willing to jeopardize that, your standing as a Jewish citizen, your standing as one of the children of God, and you would forsake that to have an occupation as a tax collector and a publican? I guarantee you that many of his contemporaries thought he sinks to a new low. It's no wonder that when he has a feast or when he has the Bible tells us when Jesus comes to his house and they have a feast together, that the crowd is publicans and sinners. Think about it. It's those that he had found connections with, others that were like him, that had made the same choices that he made. Now it goes further to show us the awesomeness, if you will, of God. And that Jesus would call this man to be one of his disciples. Someone that was despised, as evidently he was despised by his own countrymen. We need to look at Matthew's life because evidently his loyalty shifted. Not just a little bit. Not just in this area of his life. Evidently, according to what we read in his gospel, Matthew's loyalty switched completely. His loyalty went from the Roman government and self-service to finding his own way in life and doing what was best for him to doing what was best for the kingdom of God. No less than 46 times in his gospel, he shifts the focus to the kingdom. To the kingdom of God. What happened, Matthew? Matthew switched his loyalty. Matthew decided in himself, I'm no longer going to be loyal to the Roman government. I'm no longer going to be loyal to me and my wants and my wishes. This man called Jesus has called me. And now his loyalty has shifted. Now his loyalty is that to the kingdom of God. Just as a tax collector under the flag of Rome based his power upon Caesar's authority, Matthew had to come to the place where he recognized the authority of the kingdom of heaven and that it is vested entirely in Jesus and his loyalty and his submission to the king's authority. It shines through in his gospel. We see and we understand he is now loyal to the kingdom of God. Let's look at what a publican was according to what we understand in history. Publicans were Jewish citizens who pledged their loyalty to the Roman government in exchange for political appointments. They were trying to find, if you will, success in another way. They were bureaucrats, if you will. They collected taxes from their Hebrew brethren. Now understand this. First of all, let me ask you this. How many of you love paying taxes? You're just so happy when you get that check and you see how much is taken out for taxes. Matter of fact, some of us spend good money to go to talk to someone who can tell us how to get out of paying more taxes. We like the guy who helps us not pay as many taxes. Matthew is the one who's collecting the taxes. Matthew is the one that when they bring in the grain, he says, okay, this is how much you owe in taxes for that grain. Matthew is the one that they look at with a smirk and probably disgust. I wonder how much is going to be his take. Publicans and tax collectors were notorious for taking a piece of the pie, for taking a little bit for themselves. We understand Zacchaeus. When he has his conversion, he looks at the Lord and says, listen, if I defrauded, and no doubt he had, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to restore them. Matthew was one of those despised publicans. One of those individuals that his brethren felt that he was a traitor, that he had gone to the other side. That he was siding with the foreign power of Rome. Was against them, and they did not like being under Roman rule. Not only this, you think about the Romans were very, very stringent on the fact that you pledged your allegiance to Caesar. You pledge your allegiance to the Roman authority. And in the mind of his Hebrew brethren, I guarantee you, they thought this man has become an idolater. He worships Caesar. He worships the Roman government. He's not a worshiper of the one true God. And they despised him for what he did. Often they were ostracized from their communities. They were denied admittance into the synagogues, many of them. Their way of life disqualified them from participating in Jewish worship. So it is no wonder that when he has a feast, it's publicans and sinners that are there. It's not Hebrew brethren, those that were reaching for him and trying to help him. But after Matthew's transformation into a follower of Jesus, he invites the Lord and he has come to my house and eat. The Pharisees look and they look at the disciples and they ask the question, why does your teacher, Matthew 9:11, eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now they see Jesus, who they're still trying to make up their mind whether this is a man they should follow, and though his teachings are, they're astounded by his teachings, and they cannot deny his miracles and the things that are happening, and as a result of what he's doing, they still don't know how to take this Jesus. still don't know. Many of them haven't formulated an opinion as to whether he's for them or against them, whether he is the beginning of the Messiah, the one who's going to relieve them of Roman rule in their mind. And so the Pharisees, the religious types, look at this crowd as gathered together. Jesus is now eating with these publicans. Matthew and his buddy, the despised, the ostracized, the outcast. They say, why does your master eat with sinners and publicans? Jesus, we all know, we read it, and he says, well, they that be whole need not a physician. Go learn what that means. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you'll allow me to paraphrase, he's saying, listen, these are the kind of people I'm sent. These are the reason why I'm here. I'm looking for these. I want to do something in their life. I'm looking to switch their loyalty. I'm looking for them to come alongside and truly serve and worship the one true God. Not in the image that you've made up in your tradition, but to truly serve and switch their loyalty to the true government of all. Must believe, and the Bible doesn't specifically say it. It was probably obvious the loyalty that Matthew had prior to his conversion was loyalty to self, loyalty to his own desires, enough that he would be willing to betray his brother so that he could live a life of some luxury and maybe have appointment from the Roman government and maybe climb the ladder of success. Then he's called to transfer his loyalty. Then he is called not to be a publican or a tax collector anymore, but now he's called to be a follower of Christ. Might I say this? And I know it is, when you say it, you kind of think, well, duh, but we need to recognize that our loyalty to God requires that we be loyalty to his cause. Our loyalty to God requires that we're loyal to his king. We're loyal to what he desires and what he wants. I'm not loyal to my wishes anymore. I don't desire what I want anymore. I desire what he wants. Because often where my loyalty would lie, should I let it be its own, will not be in lockstep with Jesus Christ. If I follow my flesh and do what I want to do, it will not be in adherence to the will of God and the things of God. I will not be loyal to the kingdom should I choose loyalty to self. Can't happen. I've heard the statement made, and I think it is somewhat true. When we love the thought of living the American dream and climbing the ladder of success and being independent and all those things, but we have to be careful because often those things and following the kingdom of God are not compatible. I didn't get too many amens on that. Following the kingdom of God requires an adherence and a loyalty to the things of God. And if that loyalty to the things of God and his will and his way for my life is not to have the biggest house and not to drive the nicest car and not to have the most numbers in my bank account, but to do and be what he would have me to be, my loyalty must lie in his kingdom and his cause. If we interact only with individuals, think about this. Part of being loyal to the kingdom of God is to love what he loves and to reach for those whom he would reach for. Called to the righteous, but I've come called the sinner to repentance. See, we need to be careful because there is a loyalty that we have among our brothers and sisters, and that's great, and loyalty one to another. But there's also a loyalty to the cause that we cannot neglect. There's a loyalty to reaching for the lost, that if we truly are going to be loyal to God, then we got to be loyal to his cause. And one of his causes is to seek and to save that which was lost. One of his causes is to reach for those that others may despise, is to reach for those that others may turn up their nose at and say, oh no, not those type. Let me tell you, they are all, every type, everybody, all nations, all people, all tongues are for the kingdom of God. But see, here's, and let me just go off the notes for a few minutes. I just feel led in the Holy Ghost to do this. We've got to be careful, because sometimes we think that our loyalty to the things of God and the kingdom of God and our loyalty, brothers and sisters, we think that that is somehow going to make up for our lack of loyalty in doing what God has called us to do. To go and teach all nations, all people. The Bible says to all that are afar off. Sometimes our loyalty one to another and our loyalty to the things of God and our loyalty to the kingdom of God, we're so careful. And please understand, I'm not demeaning that, but we also need to be loyal to the cause. And there's sometimes when I need to recognize my reaching for a coworker or an associate or an acquaintance or someone outside the fold, if you will, it needs to take precedent in my life, and I need to focus on it, and I need to take time out of my schedule to make sure I'm not only loyal to the things of God in the sense of the church and the people of God, but I'm also loyal to the things of God in reaching for those that are outside the wall. Loyalty in reaching to those who are sick, those who are in need of repentance. Not only will loyalty to the things of God and the people of God and the cause of God, what loyalty will do, it will be a great gift to myself and to my family. My kids don't have to wonder what we're going to do on Sunday. Why? Because we're loyal to the house of God. There's a comfort. There's a strength in that. There's a solidarity in that. There's a gift that comes by being loyal and deciding that this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've already made it. We're going to be loyal to the things of God and the kingdom of God. And I know there's going to be programs, and I know there's going to be opportunities, and I know there's going to be other things that will vie for our attention. And there's going to be those that are going to try to get their allegiance to other things. But I need to raise my children in the understanding that, no, when church happens, that's where we are, because we're loyal to the house of God. Perhaps no better story illustrates the loyalty. We talk about loyalty as a gift to others. Not only is it loyalty to me, but it's a gift to those around about me. One great story of that example would be that of David and Jonathan. And now we think about it in the sense of this great love the Bible says that these men have. Jonathan and David, they become best of friends. Saul gets so angry with his own son because he doesn't understand, he doesn't recognize. Jonathan full well knew that his support of David, his willingness to make sure that David was safe, he understood, and this is what perplexed Saul so much. He said, don't you understand that by doing so, that you are forfeiting your own right to the throne? Jonathan understood. Jonathan knew what he was doing. But guess what? Jonathan had a loyalty. Jonathan had a loyalty that his own dad didn't have. Saul was loyal to himself. That's why he got so messed up, and that's why he got so upset when they would sing the songs, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, because Saul's loyalty was to himself. But Jonathan's loyalty was to the kingdom. Jonathan recognized David is the one that needs to serve in this kingdom. And Jonathan set his own desires and his own longings. Jonathan wasn't loyal to himself. Jonathan was loyal to the kingdom. And his loyalty to the kingdom fostered a loyalty to his friend David. We have one of the greatest examples of loyalty between Jonathan and David. David, after Jonathan is killed in battle, David furthers this loyalty, the expression of this loyalty, when he asks, is there any of the household of Saul whom I can show honor to? Is there anybody left? And they say, yeah, there's this guy over in Lodibar by the name of Mephibosheth. He's the only one left. David said, bring him to me. Mephibosheth probably thinking, oh, this is the end for me. I'm done. I'm over. I'm the only one left, the lineage of Saul. I'm a threat to David and his kingdom. And David says, oh, you need to understand, there was a loyalty between me and Jonathan. And now that same loyalty I'm going to extend unto you, and you're going to eat at my table. I'm going to restore all the lands and all the things that your family possessed. And Mephibosheth, you're to be here with me. I'm loyal to you now because your father Jonathan was loyal to me. Loyalty, not only is it a great gift to ourselves, a great gift to others, it is also a great gift to the kingdom of God. Loyalty is not blind submission. It's realizing, as Matthew demonstrated, that serving the kingdom is more important than serving self. And that in order to find our place, we must submit to the authority God has placed in our life. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. When we give the gift of loyalty to the cause of Christ, He trusts us. When we're loyal to the cause, He trusts us. He trusts us with things like gifts of the Spirit. He trusts us with things in ministry. He trusts us in reaching to other people. He trusts us that His interest, because of our loyalty to His kingdom and His cause, that His interest will be played out in our lives. He trusts us. I would say this, that loyalty is also one of the greatest attributes of you and I being able to make heaven our home. Matthew 24:13, but he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. I've said it many times, I'll continue to say it. Loyalty is only proven in the midst of adversity. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. We don't ever have to question the loyalty of God. He will always and forever be loyal. The question is, will I be loyal to Him? Will I be loyal to His kingdom, to His people, to His cause? Will that loyalty that I express in my life, I demonstrate in my character and in my integrity, it will not only benefit me individually, it will benefit others around about me, my family, my friends, and ultimately it will benefit the church of the living God. I don't know about you. Lord, help me. Help me to sink my roots deeper. Help me to strengthen the ties that bind me to this great church. I realize, Lord, how many things that would pull at us. Affections, our longings, desires. Things that try. And Lord, I pray that I would never be more loyal to something secular than what I am to your kingdom. Pray that I would never be more loyal to a place of employment than where I am to your house. I would understand the benefit of loyalty to your kingdom far exceeds any paycheck, far exceeds any acclamation I could get in outside achievement, being loyal. The words I long to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to be loyal. A few moments, our classes are going to be returning. These altars are open. Why don't you take a moment, whether it be here at the front or whether it be there in your pew, Why don't you reestablish? Why don't you recommit? Lord, help me to be loyal. I know there'll be adversity, God. I know there'll be things that will pull at me. I know there'll be trouble, there'll be trials. And help me to be loyal to your kingdom, loyal to your cause, loyal to your people, God, loyal to letting my love shine in a world that is dark and dreary. Help me.
Can you use me to give myself away? Give myself away. So you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your desire.
Lord, I'm here for the long haul. Question my loyalty to your kingdom, to your cause.
So you can use me to give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me in my heart.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be loyal.
Give myself away so you can use me, give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. Life is not my own. To you I belong. My own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. My life is in your hands. can use me.
Lift us up, you hold us all together.